This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show, this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever your insurance need, they will make sure you're fully insured. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. They are the pros in insurance. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And yes, we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 to Nummels Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Bring in one of my favorite people that been around for a long time, but he just outstanding at what he does, and an even better guy away from the job, and that's Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. I guess it's settling in that I have been around for a long time. I got so used to being new that, it's been a while, so I appreciate you saying that, and good to hear from you again. It's been too long.
Too long, my friend. It's so good to talk with you again. All right. You've had some limited opportunities, and I mean limited because there's only X amount of periods the media can be out there to watch practice. What have you picked up so far?
So it's been, to your point, it's looking through a keyhole at the things that you're seeing, and I've spent most of my time with the offense, so I'm always curious about the defense, but the things with Penn State's offense that I think are the most interesting that stood out right away, the quarterbacks are going to run this year. I talked to Andy Kotelnicki, I think it was last week, about the idea that they have been putting the quarterbacks through the same ball security drills as the receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs, which last year we saw Penn State, and for years and years we've seen Penn State do ball security drills during practice, but they've been doing something quarterback specific, and Andy Kotelnicki said, we're developing ball carriers, and everyone who carries the football or has the ability to carry the football is going to learn how to take care of it and become a runner, and he said the quarterbacks are included in that. So, you know, looking at his offense over at Kansas, that was a big question mark I had coming into spring, which was how much of this are they going to copy and paste over and how much has to change because, you know, Bo Brubula can run, Ethan Grunkmeyer can run, and Jackson Smolak, all these quarterbacks can run, but Drew Aller is running the show, and that is not necessarily what we saw from him in the past. But based on what we've seen and, you know, some of the things that I've gotten through inference, the quarterbacks are going to run, so be prepared for that if you're a Penn State fan.
When you watch the Kansas offense, Daniels got hurt last year. He played three games, missed all the rest. The other quarterback they used can run, but is not in the same category as Daniels. So do you take something from watching how he plays?
Yeah, so I think that's a really great point. I liked watching Jason Bean because he was kind of a good balance of the two. He was a passer. He threw the ball well down the field. I thought he was aggressive with the football. So there are elements of the offense that I think absolutely translate. And when you watch those things, the RPOs and the offense and pairing that with the play action and some of the bootlegs and things that are pretty standard in an offense in college, all those I think are pretty encouraging when you add in some of these elements in the run game and the things that Kotelnicki does to blend all of it together. I think the RPOs are going to be a big benefit for the quarterback position because last year what I saw on film was Drew had to do a lot of heavy lifting. There was a lot of progression reads where it's straight drop back. You've got a first-round draft pick on the left side of your offensive line. You've got a pocket-passing quarterback, so let's lean into those strengths when we have to, knowing that that offense still wanted to run the football. This offense, I think they can simplify things, make it a little bit easier for him to get, as James Franklin talked about, some of those rhythm throws earlier in a game. And for people who don't know, RPOs are run-pass option where it's a run play, but the quarterback and some receivers have some pass tendencies or concepts tacked onto a run play. And those are going to be a little more aggressive than what they did previously, where they're going to, from what I've seen, go down the field a little bit more and create some of those one-on-one matchups to help the receivers and to help the quarterback kind of generate offense that isn't so timing, passing game, like NFL-level sort of concept specific.
How about in the running game itself? You talk about the quarterbacks and their ability to run. What does that do, in your opinion, to create space for the running backs in that scheme?
Yeah, this is where I think it's really interesting. The threat of the quarterback running is really important, but the scheme itself and some of the things they do, Andy Kolnicki, when we talked to him this spring, talked about distortion. He's mentioned that a couple of times in the what he's trying to do to a defense essentially is tear it apart. You know, make zones bigger, move guys around the football field where you want them, and part of that is quasi triple option. You know, there's a lot of packages in this offense that have two running backs. They provide threats in multiple different ways, and then that allows the quarterback to have easier decisions to make in the run game, and then opens up the opportunity to get the running backs in space one-on-one with a defender, getting to the outside more often, I think, in this offense, and then just holistically providing some more options. And I don't want to just compare and contrast last year to what we've seen on film, but it is kind of the point of the talent that they have on the roster. How do you use it more efficiently? And these are some of the ways that I think that are going to be successful for Penn State, with the way that Andy Kolnicki is able to use similar schemes to what they've used previously. And James Franklin has said, you know, the running game is staying relatively the same, so the core concepts are the same, but how they're using them and how they're implementing them, no two people use a pen the same way, or, you know, whatever tool you want to say, a shovel, a scalpel, whatever it might be. You can use those things differently, and in the hands of somebody different, the same tool can do something different. And I think the run game is a big area of improvement. I think maybe nobody stands to gain more this year than Nick Singleton from those changes, because I do think that, you know, all these layers of the offense are going to create more seams and big play opportunities for him, where previously there was a lot of hard slogging that they had to do on the ground.
What has been your read defensively so far with the change from Manny Diaz, who's now at Duke, to Tom Allen?
Yeah, I have less questions there, Steve, because I think it's a pretty seamless transition, but at the same time, I've seen less of them, and there's been, I think, some more conversation about some of the changes. James Franklin's been pretty clear that they want to go to more of a three-safety look. They want to use the lion position and play, you know, a hybrid defender in the flat. And the funny thing, Steve, is we were talking about this in 2022 with Manny Diaz, yeah. And then suddenly Abdul Carter appeared, and Curtis Jacobs is playing out in the field again. So yeah. Talent always dictates in these situations, right?
Yeah. And you brought up Abdul Carter. Having him at a defensive end spot, what do you think the domino is on the defense with him in that spot?
That's been, to me, this is the biggest question about the front seven. Because, you know, we understand Jalen Reed, it's pretty clear, everyone has said he's going to be a guy that plays that line position. Makes a ton of sense based on his skill set, his instincts, and his ability to play the run and the pass. But when you move Abdul Carter, and this is something we talked about this spring on our show on the YouTube channel, the Blue Wave Illustrated YouTube channel, and James Franklin brought up yesterday, there are consequences to moving Abdul Carter and losing Curtis Jacobs at the same time in the same offseason. You love having Abdul at that defensive end position. He has the ability to drop into coverage. You know that. So you've got the inverse of what he was doing previously, which is he was pass rushing as a linebacker. Now he can drop as a defensive end. But you still have to know what you have at linebacker. And the one thing that we know they have is Kobe King at middle linebacker. And Steve, I'm sure you have a better read on who's playing where at the linebacker position. But Tony Rojas, I think his skill set could make him an outstanding box linebacker. That will position that in most 4-2 defenses is kind of the star of the group, the most athletic, the most explosive, the guy who makes plays. But we've also heard he might play some Sam. You know, that where they line up the linebackers and then developing the depth of the young guys behind known quantities like Dom DeLuca and Kobe King, That's where I have the biggest question. And then how much does Abdul Carter and the defensive ends in general, how much do they factor into playing in coverage and zone dropping and zone blitzing where you're dropping those defensive ends out in coverage? There's a lot of versatility, and that's, Tom Allen talked about that yesterday at practice, is a lot about sub-packages, versatility, and players being able to do more than one thing to provide the defense with that advantage of the unanticipated. And I think he's very good at providing the offense with a lot of unanticipated coverages and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how he folds in all of those ideas and core beliefs with more talent, like how does he use Abdul Carter and where do these guys play a linebacker?
Yeah, because you and I both know a big part of this is, how can I get my best players on the field? In what combination can I get my best players on the field? That's what part of this is about. Bringing in Jalen Kimber and bringing in A.J. Harris to go with Miller and Tracy and Washington and others, what does that combination of now corners, even though Dixon and King are now going to the NFL, what do you think that does to influence a coordinator's thought on how to position players?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, Steve, James Franklin talks about this all the time, and I think you probably have a good view of this, is the competition level at the position, because we know Zion Tracy and Cam Miller got more opportunities than some of those other young guys last year, but they don't want to have incumbent starters without challenge, so bringing in A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber, these are guys that have talent and they have experience, so it provides you with depth, and then I think raises the whole level of the group. And this is, to me, this is the thing I'm most interested in, is when Tom Allen talked about it yesterday and talked about the line position, he mentioned Jalen Reed, and there was a conversation about what they liked about with the safeties. And then in the same breath, then started talking about A.J. Harris, Zion Tracy, Cam Miller, guys who can play slot corner. So I'm curious, like, are those the same position? Do they view them as the same position? Because Jalen Reed has a different skill set than a guy like Cam Miller.
Right.
A.J. Harris is a physical guy, but are they all competing for the same position? Or are these more sub-packages and more different personnel groupings they can put on the field? That's a curiosity. Again, I haven't been able to get over the defensive side of the ball to get any of those like little crumbs and clues, but I think that that's something that, just from a logic standpoint, you have to have a cornerback that can play in the slot. And to me, that's what that conversation is about, having those be two different things. But, you know, that's just supposition on my part.
When the blue-white game finally does roll around in a couple of weeks, and I realize, you know, there'll be a lot of guys playing in this thing that, you know, the fans will not probably see again the rest of the year, or will see late in the game sometimes. But is there anything in particular you're looking for, especially early in that thing, just to give you a couple of clues?
Yeah, 100 different things, Steve. This is find out season. Although I always get burned by this. I remember when, again, going back to Manny Diaz, when he came in and wanting to know how he was going to use different personnel, and I was wondering about the safety position. Are they going to play a pure boundary and field and have, you know, kind of a classic for a shortcut here, strong safety, free safety? And then they did that in blue-white game, so I felt fairly confident that that was going to happen. And then halfway through the season, Tig Brown is playing literally everywhere. So I've gotten burned before of taking too much from the blue-white game. But things like that, you know, like different where they are right now in the spring gives you a good idea of kind of what they're working with and their ideas of what they're going to tool around with later on. So, you know, who's playing in the slot as a receiver? Who's playing outside as a receiver? How much do we see of the offense from what it's actually going to look like with all the shifts and motions and formations? And then defensively, you know, kind of a similar conversation of what young guys are playing, what positions, that linebacker room, and just getting a chance to see some young guys that we don't get to see a whole lot, some of those guys down the depth chart that we're all curious about. And I think especially on the offensive line, there's going to be some interesting things. And there's always interesting things of guys playing different positions and kind of bouncing back and forth between different spots. So there's 100 different things, and there's nothing all at the same time, which is the beauty of the blue-white game. Because if you just want to go and have a hot dog in the sun, Steve, and hang out, like, that's also an acceptable thing to get out of the blue-white game.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I think you just described members of our broadcast booth. All right, so at least a couple of them. Jack and I are kind of like talking about the game, but older players, Devon Ellis, Akeem Beeman, Keandre Lambert-Smith. Let me ask you this. If they were transfer portal guys coming into the program, because I think it's bonuses they all came back, what would you be thinking mm-hmm. about each as guys that came into the program, since it's a bonus as sixth-year players or fifth-year players they're back?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think it's one where, especially at that defensive tackle position, it's so hard to find guys that can play. You know, there's lots of guys that have talent, and there's a lot of guys that provide you with specific things. You know, maybe a guy has good size and can play in certain areas, but you don't know the full extent of what they can do. So with Devon Ellis and the transformation he made last year, that's a guy that I thought by the end of the year, I don't know if he was drafted, but that's a guy that I would say can play in the NFL. The aggression, the size, the physicality that he showed was all impressive. And his production, truthfully, I don't think people gave him enough credit for what he was doing on the defensive, on that interior position. Same thing with Akeem Beeman. And then Keandre Lambert-Smith, I think, provides you with the stability of a guy that can get you those big plays. You know, and I know that that's unpredictable stability, but I think, you know, if you look at it in the sense of a full wide receiver room, you need somebody who's got those skills to generate big plays, and he's a guy that I think has proven since very early on in his career that he's a guy that can get you those big plays. So then you have certain variables you're looking for in that receiver room when you bring in somebody like that.
Very quick, any quick thoughts on the NFL draft with the Penn State players in your mind?
Yeah, the whole Olufashinu slide, I think, is all overblown. You know, this idea that he's going to go into the 20s. The NFL loves pass blockers at left tackle. You know, I understand that the run game is important. I don't want to diminish that. And I also don't think he's this problem as a run blocker that some people might be portraying him as, especially when you compare him to some of these other guys that are impressive run blockers and have those things. But when you look at what Olu can do, There's only so many guys that are 6'6 and move like that. So, you know, unless there's something else, unless there's some off-the-field thing that has nothing to do with his character or his play that is pushing him down the board, I don't buy into that. Also, chop Robinson to the Bills. I'm trying to manifest that one as hard as I can.
I know you're pushing hard on that.
Yes.
To go with the Austin Johnson and Daquan Jones making an all-Penn State front for you.
Yeah, love it, especially the way Daquan played last year. I mean, they needed a guy with size that could also get after the quarterback. And you know, I don't want to call it a late career breakout because I know he's had a good career, but the defense fit him really well. Buffalo's defense fit him really well. Yeah. In all seriousness, a guy that I think in the later rounds that I actually wrote about this last week that I have pegged to the Bills is Kalen King. Yeah. You know, the conversation about his speed and what sort of system he fits into. If you look at the corners that the Bills have drafted or found and that have been very good players in that system, they all run in the 4.6s and the 4.5s. Right. And then Kalen King ran a 4.62, then a 4.52, and he's a good zone corner that plays, is smart, tacks the run really well. Like, you know, chop Robinson aside, if there's one dude that it would fit with my team, it would absolutely be Kalen King playing corner for the Bills.
Yep. No, I agree with that. Look, it's how you it does get to a point, stopwatch. Look, if I'm a general manager or a scout, I want all the information I can get. In the end, what does the video look like? Can the dude play? All right?
Yeah.
This isn't the Olympics. All right? How fast?
He's another guy go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, he's another guy where I think the narrative swung a little too hard the other way, where he was a first-round draft pick until he didn't have the same season he had in 2023 that he did in 2022. But that doesn't make him a bad football player because of all of these things. It just recalibrates maybe what he is in the NFL and generally what he is as a football player. And there's a lot of, like, negativity around his draft stock, and I still think, based on what we've seen, Steve, he's a starting corner in the NFL. He's not going to fit every scheme, but I think he's a good football player, and you can't lose sight of that when you have some of these, as you were mentioning, like some of the metrics that might not say he's a top cover corner that can play in any system. Like there's still value there in a football player that has shown he can cover at the college level.
Always, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate that and the information.
Thanks, Steve. Always appreciate coming on.
Thomas Frank Carr on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated, joining us on the show today. We will come back this half hour, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.